This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com.
Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 132. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned money. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach. Along with Amanda, she is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out at Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, Amanda?
Hey, how's it going?
Got all my shots.
I'm so proud
of myself. Yes, I am fully vaccinated.
And they removed most of the mask mandates pretty much everywhere at this point.
Oh, yeah. Maryland is, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Science is good. I mean, just don't go overseas where it's still running rampant. But
well, you're coming from a military family. I mean, you know, if you want to travel internationally, if you don't want a shot, that's fine. But countries will block you at the border.
Yeah.
You're like, you ain't coming in. And this has been going on for years. So I tried to explain that to my people on Facebook. My Facebook gave me a thing. I've had immunizations for countries because of my international rescue thing.
There's been immunization requirements for decades.
People. For many countries. It's nothing. So to me, this is all nothing new. Now, I respect people that don't want it. That's fine. Just respect my decision. Yeah, but
it's just not your right to go wherever you want then. Like, that's a privilege.
Yeah, and if you want to get on a cruise ship, I'm pretty certain they're going to have a requirement you have to have a vaccination. That will be determined. But anyway.
Debated here in Florida. There's a big battle between the cruise industry and our governor.
Really? See, I haven't been keeping up on that.
Yeah, because he banned any business or government entity from asking people for proof of vaccination.
And they're just trying to keep everyone safe on the ship.
Well, yeah, because the federal government says they can only sail if 90% of people are vaccinated. So we'll see if the governor's willing to let these cruise ships pull out of Florida, you know, pull their ports from Florida and, you know, not have any cruise industry here in Florida. We'll see.
Does he not understand the money, the revenue? Or I guess
I'm sure he does.
Okay. We have six questions. We should start a political podcast. And then we could get Amanda really getting on a rail.
Hey, this is not politics. I'm merely saying those are the two sides of the argument.
But it is related to our investments because it is about money. And we do have a lot of your mutual funds do have cruise ship companies in there.
Yeah.
NCL, mm-hmm. Carnival. These are big major companies out there that people are buying stocks in. And I mean, if they can't operate, that's a huge hit.
Yeah,
and that's a big deal.
And just a little lesson for everyone. The federal laws generally trump state laws.
So. There you go. Yeah, exactly. So
the cruise ships have a pretty strong position when they say, sorry, Mr. Florida governor, you can't override federal law.
And yes, these cruise ships are registered in Panama, stuff like that. But the bottom line is when people go to travel to Florida before they get on a ship, they stay at a hotel. They dine in restaurants. There's still a lot of residual money that's spent before and after the cruise ship. It's a lot of money. So a lot of tax revenue comes from hotel stays and tourists. I mean, you guys in Florida rely on the tourist for much of your money.
Yeah.
So, a lot of taxes are piled on there. You get like a hotel for $89 and your bill's $160.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like double.
Okay, we have six questions. And by the way, my voice sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, sounding good.
I'm slowly recovering. And no, people, I wasn't sick. I just streamed like 12 hours a day and yelling.
Oh, and just a disclaimer, we do record these in advance. So it's possible that the cruise ships and our governor will come to a resolution before you listen to this.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Let's hope so.
That's true. Question number one, Amanda. Mm-hmm. Would you count the equity in your home and real estate investments as part of your net worth? I'm just curious what your opinion is. Some argue that including real estate is misleading because it's not a liquid asset.
No, it's part of your net worth. It doesn't matter if it's liquid or not. It's part of your net worth. I mean, your retirement accounts aren't exactly liquid either if you're not near retirement age. So yeah, it's absolutely part of your net worth. I certainly include it in mine because the equity you have in your home, that's something that doesn't go away if you sell your house and pay your mortgage off. You still have the equity that you get to pocket, you know, and yeah, I understand you have to find somewhere else to live, but that doesn't mean you have to find a one for one or find something that's more expensive. So the equity is the equity. Just like, if you have a balance in your checking account today, that counts towards your net worth, but tomorrow you make a big purchase, you know,
yeah, it's like gone. Your emergency fund goes in there too. But if you had to buy an HVAC for $12,000, well, now it just dropped $12,000.
Right. So your net worth is something that's fluid based on, you know, current circumstances and an ever-changing environment.
And it's literally this simple, Amanda. It's what you own and what you owe. It's what you own minus what you owe is your net worth.
Right.
So your cars are included. You can include your couch in there. There is a basic number, what, $20,000 for your stuff in your house and stuff like that.
You can. No. It depends on how much.
I don't go that deep into it.
I don't either.
I keep it generalized. So
yeah, it's that simple. You know, financial accounts and real estate is usually what the only things I put in my calculation.
Yeah, guys. So it's that simple. It's what you have minus what you owe, and that is your net worth. So there you go. Question number two. My 19-year-old son started his first career job in logistics, working for a major defense contractor, and got his first paycheck today. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good paycheck too. He's talking about buying cryptocurrency though, Amanda.
Yeah.
He's on his own and he pays for everything. So I don't really have a say in how he handles his money. Right. I know we don't normally include cryptocurrency in our questions, but I thought this was something we could just basically talk about the basics of investing.
Yes. And so that's why I include this. We put that in the same category as going and playing like roulette in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And so by the way, entertainment money, if you want to dabble in it, that's fine, but only after you've taken care of all the other baby steps, right? Like this is just throwaway money. And if something works out with it, great, but it's highly volatile. And, you know, I saw people are losing like their homes because there was a 1 week downturn, you know?
Yeah, it was that quick. And that by the time people listen to this, we're recording this well in advance. There was a big downturn in Bitcoin because Elon Musk says you can't use it to buy a Tesla now. And it dropped dramatically along with every other thing. And Dogecoin say, I mean, I'm not saying you don't do this, but like Amanda said, you need the foundation first. And then once you fully fund your IRA, your 401k.
Yeah, and this should not be included in your 15% that you're putting towards retirement.
The problem is, Amanda, and I see these news stories every day. This guy, what was that guy overseas that works for one of the big investment firms? Did you see that? He quit his job at this investment firm. He's the senior manager at, not Schwab, but Goldman Sachs. He became a multimillionaire from his Dogecoin and he quit his job. So people see this.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh man, Dogecoin is 39 cents or 51 cents. I'm going to take all my money out. I'm going to put it in this. Mm-hmm. That's what they're seeing. And I know people are deaf to what we're trying to tell them at this point. Cause all they're seeing the success stories. They're not seeing all the failures. Because there's a lot of failures.
People don't announce with a bullhorn that they've completely failed.
Amanda, I work for an airline. I liken this, and I'm saying to Ben, I'm liking this, the people heading to Vegas. They leave BWI Airport and they're going to McCarran Airport in Vegas. They're on the way, they're partying, they're drinking on the way there. Oh, man. And then when they're coming back out, it's a super quiet airplane. The only people, and then your friends only tell you about the money they made. They don't tell you how much money it took to win at that slot machine or at the craps table, which is my favorite game. They don't tell you that, how much they spent. They only tell you about your winnings. Nobody ever says, hey, I lost $2,000 in Vegas.
Right.
Because they didn't build all that stuff in Vegas by giving you money.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, all my friends in Clark County, Nevada, all tell me, oh, yeah, come on out. They all encourage you to come out because they want your money. The point of this question, Amanda, is we need to do the basic steps. The order investing is your 401k first, up to the match, open your IRA, fully fund both in Roth, and then once you get past what was it, 6,000 for IRA, right? And yeah. What, 19,500 for most people for your 401k. So that's how much money right there. 25, my math is hard. It's a lot of money.
I imagine if you're working for a contractor, a government contractor, you probably do have that at your fingertips to invest.
Absolutely. So once you get past 25,500 maxed out for the year, then you can start buying real estate, separate stocks, cryptocurrency. I have no problem if you want to do that, if you've taken care of the basic stuff first.
Yeah.
We're not telling you no. Question number three. this is on the edge of politics, Amanda. With all the talk about hyperinflation, is it a good idea to stockpile cash, money in the bank, rather than throw extra money at the mortgage or pay off a car loan of $6,000? There's multiple parts to this question, if you see that.
Yeah, I think we talked about this not that long ago. Like, I don't know where people are getting this panic about hyperinflation from.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense to me. There's no credible indicator that hyperinflation is going to happen anytime in the near future.
And even so, Amanda, what are we going to do anyway? Oh, so let's say even if we knew something was going to happen, am I going to stop?
Well, I sure would want all of my debt paid off before that happened.
Well, yeah, because your rates are going to go up. If you have an adjustable mortgage, you have adjustable... All the credit card rates have been going up, by the way.
Yeah.
Companies want their money. Everything goes up if it has an interest rate on it.
Why are you stockpiling more cash than your emergency fund?
The other thing I noticed about this question is they mentioned they want to put extra money at their mortgage and pay off a car loan. That's not even the right order.
Not the right order.
No, you're in baby step two if that's what really is going on. You need to pay off your car.
Pay off the car yesterday. Yeah.
Stop extra money on your mortgage. You're not even doing the baby steps right before we go to a commercial break.
I'm just shaking my head here. I'm closing my eyes and shaking my head.
People aren't listening, Amanda. They are not listening. This is so simple. This is the baby steps, guys. Baby step one, initial $1,000 emergency fund in case anything goes wrong while you're in baby step two, which is paying off all of your debt except your mortgage. All of it, including cars, college debt, everything, credit cards, everything. You can't have any debt except your mortgage. Baby step three is your 3 to 6 month emergency fund of your expenses. Whatever your expenses are, you need these 3 to 6 months. That's the part that if you were worried about hyperinflation, you really had some crazy idea. That's where you stockpiling money. But most people don't do the emergency fund. So just make sure you have that and you're fine. Then baby step four, you invest. Baby step six is paying off your mortgage. That's at the tail end. Number one, you got the wrong thing here. But as far as hyperinflation, I'm not going to stop investing. I keep putting more and more money in there. Don't let some crystal ball thing tell you, oh, I better stockpile my cash. It doesn't matter with hyperinflation, Amanda. I gotta keep investing if I want to retire. And if I have no debt, well, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Yet the cost of goods may be higher. But who cares? I'm debt free. Who cares? I'm just going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on investing and move on with about my day. It doesn't really affect me other than the price of milk or bread or gas. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well,
it really doesn't. It just, but if I'm debt free, it doesn't matter. I just have to adjust how I do my budget, which is your silo. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? I mean, I think people put way too much emphasis. I think the people that worry about this are the ones that have debt.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, I got a little on soapbox there.
You did.
How about we take a break? And we'll be back with three more questions. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Hey there. there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on Money with Amanda and Craig. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney. And the website, rockonthemoney.com. And our podcast is everywhere. And the listens are going up again because people are getting out and walking, exercise.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, welcome back to your commute, everybody. How was that pandemic for everybody?
Yeah.
Hey, let's see. Question number 4.
Diving right back into it.
I'm putting this question in here because it reminds me of you. Allows you to get on a rant if you want. It's up to you. Has anyone taken a look at their investments lately?
Oh, man. Yeah. Ouch.
My stocks are down, and I've been trying to take a deep breath for the last few days. My dad used to tell me just to ride it out. The stock market will go up, and the stock market will go down.
Your dad sounds very wise.
And they are absolutely correct.
Yes.
And I had several people hit me up. Even one person in the group said the same thing. Please reassure me. And I said, look, I lost $200,000. I ain't worried about it.
Yeah. Like in the last week, right?
Yeah. And then, we're pre-recording this. This is when that stock market went down really sharp. But then what happened the next 2 days after that? It started going back. Now, not everything went up. It depended on what you're in. Tech is still having a problem, but
it'll come back. I mean, tech's not going away. So having a very rough year with tech because I'm very tech heavy in my portfolio and it's rough. Like as of today, I'm still down 5% year to date.
Yeah.
But then when I open up my horizons just a little bit, and let's just say I just look at what's my 6 month change. I'm still up 14% in just the last 6 months.
Absolutely. Overall.
So, absolutely. I mean, if we're just looking for each year to bring in 8 to 12%, if I look at my 1 year total, I'm still up 85%. So you just have to kind of like put it in perspective, right? It's going to go up. It's going to go down. Don't look at it every single day because, it's going to be hard to breathe some days.
and I know you don't like me talking about stocks, but allow me to talk about some of the biggest heavyweights out there. Mm-hmm. Microsoft. It is silly because I've recommended this in this group for years, this one stock, right? Mm-hmm. It is silly that Microsoft is sitting where it's at. It got drugged down with everything else. Yeah. It ended up being a buy and it is going back up because right now it is slated to go 50% higher.
Yeah.
The cloud is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right,
Microsoft is the king of all of this. And I'm telling you, the reason why I bring up Microsoft, most of your mutual funds have Microsoft as a major component. They have Apple in there. They have Amazon. Yes, they all got drugged down with everything. It's going to be fine. But like you said, we look at long term. And what did we make in the last 1, 2, 3 years?
Yeah, the last couple of years were crazy. So
our overall average is way above 8 to 12%. So we're still winning.
Yeah.
Microsoft ain't going anywhere.
I was up overall like 15%. So yeah, there have been some wild swings. You know, I'm not anywhere near retirement. So, it's depressing, sure, to look at it some days and say, oh, I just lost a brand new car's worth of money.
Yeah. That's what I was sending to you. I said, hey, I lost 2 Corvettes today.
I know. Yeah.
I was like, oh, well. But
I never seem to gain a Corvette in one day.
Oh, I did. I did. But the point is like I don't think I've ever been more relaxed about the stock market, but other people are paying because you're still new to this. People are just now looking at this stuff. We're teaching them to look, and they're not supposed to look at it, but they do. And we can't stop. No, because
I've never looked at it before until their quarterly statement arrived in the mail.
Good. That's a very good point. So now they're looking at it every day. They hear it on the news. They rush and look at it because now they know to look at it. Mm-hmm. And now, guys, this happens all the time. I've never been more calm in my life. Because I'm super confident.
Doesn't he sound calm?
I am. I lost two Corvettes the other day. What do I care? Like, okay. Yeah. And then it came right back. I'm like, okay.
As long as you don't need it right away. And if you do need it right away, like you're in or near retirement, you shouldn't be in those volatile, funds anyway. You should be in your target date fund. So until you're close to retirement, yeah, we're going to have this roller coaster.
You shouldn't be in Dogecoin or Bitcoin. Is that what you...
That's right. Yeah.
Question number five, looking for advice, Amanda. I'm 23. Okay. Boy, I remember 23. Mm. I'm 23 and I want to... And I want to know, besides clearing debt and investments, what else should I be working on to build my wealth? Well, I think they basically just said we got to do the baby steps.
Yes. So you definitely need to do the baby steps. You need to make sure you don't have any debt. You need to make sure you're doing your minimum investments for your future. The other things you can do to build your wealth is make sure you're positioned for career advancement.
Mm. Always learn. Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you have a career path or goals in mind and that you are positioning yourself to continue to advance so that your income level can continue to advance. Income is a big part of wealth building.
Yes, you should. Your pay should always go up, always. And if your employer is not helping you advance, it's time to look for a new employer.
Right.
You need to keep advancing yourself. And I love that someone at age 23 is already thinking about this. They are focused on this.
Even if you're working full time, are there skills that you can pick up in your off time instead of sitting and binging on Netflix, because all of that makes you more marketable, not only with your own employer in terms of promotions, but also if you have to leave your employer or, heaven forbid you get laid off or something during a pandemic, then you are more marketable out there in the job seeking market.
I'm going to stay off my soapbox about Netflix, but you said enough. I'm going to stay out of that one. But you are absolutely 100% true about what are you doing after work? Are you watching TV or are you trying to do a side hustle that could end up being your new company that you come up with or your big side hustle that ends up outperforming your day job? And that's when it's time to switch. You never know.
Right.
There's so many ways to learn. Where were the different places real quick? Since you're on that path, Udemy. What else? YouTube itself.
YouTube.
I mean, I learn stuff. I sit and watch YouTube all day as I'm working. I'm watching things to learn things as I'm working. I love YouTube.
Masterclass. I think there's Masterclass.
Masterclasses. You can get a lot of courses are online everywhere. I mean, it's just
like even Harvard and MIT are offering some courses online for free.
Google has that new program that you take their courses and then you're eligible to get hired by Google.
Yeah.
I think I've posted that before. Where are you putting Gary Vaynerchuk? All these people say the same thing. It's not, we didn't come up with this. Are you watching Netflix or are you bettering yourself to make more money? And the people that work after work at home, trying to learn and trying to develop a skill end up far exceeding everyone else. And it's the effort you put in. It really is.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. The other cornerstone, I would say, that's important in building wealth.
This is the soapbox episode. question number six. It is true, though.
Yeah.
It is so true. Every motivational speaker says the same thing. Why do we keep putting Netflix down? They always use Netflix as an example.
Well, because that's the most popular mental suck for most people.
It is. Everybody binge watches. And if you're and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I mean, but use your time wisely where you want to be. Question number six.
Yeah, let me read this one. Let's see. Should I invest in the S&P 500 index or total market index? It seems like they have very similar returns over the last few years and wondering what others think.
I don't care. Neither one. The total market, though, is a wider selection of companies. It's like 3,000 companies as opposed to the S&P 500. I like the S&P 500. It's the 500 best.
Yeah, that's the 500 part of the name.
Or the total market is the 3,000 best. So you're getting the mid cap and the small caps blended in there as well. I prefer to stick with the best companies because the 500, they're always readjusting it. Like Tesla recently was able to get in there. So, and they're adjusting it for you, Amanda. It's like its own little money manager index that some group picks who's going to be in there, and they have to be the outperformers of everything else. I prefer sticking with the big ones. So the S&P 500 is what Warren Buffett and all these other guys say. So they seem to have done very well. So I stick with the S&P 500. I mean, you can do either one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get upset because sometimes, like right now, typically the small caps would outperform everything else when we come out of a recession or something like that. So we kind of put the pandemic in that same category. So it will be interesting what the total market index does as opposed to the S&P 500. Because the S&P 500 does have a lot of tech in it. It really is tech heavy on the top. So it'll be interesting. We don't know. We don't know, Amanda. I mean, there's so many variables involved with the Fed and that sort of thing. And the Fed has learned so much in the past that the small cap fund is not doing what it should be doing. A lot of people jumped over there thinking, okay, the small cap fund will outperform. Well, it's not. The S&P 500 is all-time high. I'm just going to stick with what works. So I do S&P 500 personally. That's just my... You have anything you add on that or...
No, I think you covered it.
I just don't want people to put so much effort into this. It doesn't take a lot of thought. Remember, the number one reason people don't have money for retirement is they're not putting money in. Don't overthink it. When we're down to like comparing two indexes, you pick either one. I would prefer the 500. But the biggest deal is they're spending money on stupid things, not investing their money.
Yeah.
Which should be my last soapbox for the episode. All right, Amanda, thank you so much.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.